This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The CDC reports suicide was the leading cause of death for Asian Americans between the ages of 15 and 24 between 2018 and 2022. And researchers have found a concerning increase in suicide rates among Asian American and Pacific Islander youth. Joining me now to discuss the cultural challenges that Asian American families face when it comes to mental health and local efforts to encourage conversations about mental health between young people and their families are Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation Project Coordinator Mamta Buzgai, Asian Addy Youth Co-Chair Irene Zhang, and Asian Youth Alliance Chairman Johan Trajano. Thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing us on.
Thank you, Lucy.
Mamta, those are alarming facts, with suicide being the leading cause of death for young people, that in young Asian Americans, suicide rates increasing. Are communities aware of this, do you think, aware of how big this problem is?
Not like Asian communities as a whole, but like the smaller sub-communities are aware of the things happening in their community. And they think it just like, for example, like Bhutanese Nepali community, there have been a lot of suicide in the last like 3 to 4 years, and they think they're the only one affected because they don't know about other communities, like other Asian communities struggling with the issue. So it feels like communities, smaller sub-communities, think they're struggling with this on their own, but like it's all Asian communities.
And that's because there's not enough talk about it, do you think, among communities?
Definitely. It just, people don't want to talk about suicide. So there's not enough awareness. There's just not enough. We see other things on the news, but we don't see news about like suicide awareness or anything. So there's just lack of awareness and the stigma associated with it.
Yeah. Now, Johan and Irene, I believe you're both high school students. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, just recently graduated.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. Well, high school brings so much stress and pressure. Johan, talk about the mental health concerns and needs that Asian American youth are dealing with. And are young people talking with each other about this?
Yes. So a lot of the concerns I feel like Asian youth are really dealing with is a lot of the expectations that they deal with, whether that's at school, whether that's familial responsibilities. And I think the main thing that Asian youth really want out of what they want is just to be heard. A lot of the times we have these stereotypes like model minority, where they have this expectation to live up to. And a lot of these Asian Americans come from immigrant backgrounds, so like first generation and second generation immigrants. And their families are looking for better lives here in America. And when sometimes children kind of see that and feel like they have to live up to that expectation that they're going to bring a better life to their family, they're going to bring the wealth, prosperity, they're going to bring the status. And so it feels like Asian youth kind of carry this burden of responsibility, and sometimes they just don't know how to deal with the anxiety and stress that comes with that. And it's not a very easy topic to talk about, like Mamta said, with like that stigma about, you know, talking about your feelings when it seems like the only thing you have to be responsible for as an Asian youth is just to live up to the expectation and bring forth success for your family. So
yeah,
it's just a struggle for Asian Americans to really voice that and have a good conversation with each other. I know in my personal experience that I've found a really great community of Asian Americans who have the same kind of struggles that I go through. But there just seems to be more of that throughout the Asian community.
Yeah. Irene, what are your thoughts? Johan mentioned this kind of model minority stereotype and all the pressure that Asian American youth can feel, that all that weight on their shoulders with these family expectations and that sort of thing. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Johan has already mentioned. I think the model minority stereotype, it really places Asians in this position where they're supposed to be obedient, they're supposed to be hardworking, they're supposed to kind of suppress those struggles that they go through. As Johan said, in order to bring about prosperity to their families, in order to honor the sacrifices that their parents have went through. So that model minority mindset is really harmful to the mindsets of Asian American youth when it comes to voicing their emotions, voicing their feelings, knowing when to seek help, or even understanding that they deserve help. So, yeah.
Perfection is a tough standard to live up to, for sure. Mamta, do you, you know, Johan and Irene were both talking about immigrant families in particular, and that's not even just necessarily first generation, right? I mean, do those expectations sometimes carry through for multiple generations?
Definitely. We see those expectations carry through generations, and it just, I think the Asian community, our focus is very much on education, and it's like parents, even like, it's not that it's not lack of care for the kids. It's just the cultural difference, because if you think about it, like our parents, grandparents, they come from a place where all they were struggling to meet their basic needs, right? Like they didn't have, for the lack of a word, they didn't even have the, I don't know what you would call it.
The fundamentals.
Yeah, to even think about their mental health. So now we're here, we have our basic needs met, and we have all these mental health issues. And like the parents, because of the cultural difference, they just can't understand the concept of it.
Mm-hmm. Irene, how do you think these stresses and pressures are different for Asian American youth compared to what you hear from friends from other racial or ethnic backgrounds? I think you got to that a little bit with, you know, the model minority stereotype, but can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. I think one thing that Asian American youth do struggle with more than their white counterparts might be just opening up to their parents and having those emotionally intimate conversations with their parents. Since there is usually the stigma around mental health in Asian households, along with the fact that families like to compare their children to other children. So there's always, you know, like parents saying, oh, why can't you be more like this child? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? So there's a lot of pressure for children to just avoid talking about their mental struggles, to avoid seeking help. And sometimes that manifests in like unhealthy coping habits, whether that be self-harm or substance abuse, and just avoiding the topic. So
yeah. Johan, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Irene said. I think, and oftentimes that stress can be like, can be very overwhelming, and it can get into all their aspects of their life. And someone brought up earlier about education, and sometimes that can be the only kind of thing to lean back on. Mm-hmm. And like that, some people can define their worth by like how successful they are in their education or their professional lives and like jobs and occupation.
Yeah, or how fancy was the school you
went
into?
Right, exactly. Kind of is this prestigious enough to where I'm worth, like I have value? So that's another common problem that arises with Asian American youth.
Yeah. Well, we are talking about the cultural challenges that Asian American families face when it comes to mental health and the importance, excuse me, of meaningful conversations between young people and their families. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Mamta, we talked a little bit about this model minority stereotype, how that plays into stresses for young people. How does it play into the way they even interact with parents and families and other authority figures if there's this pressure that, you know, I've got to fit these expectations and be perfect all the time? Does that really sort of interfere with these conversations?
It definitely interferes with the relationship that youth have with their parents. I've seen that a lot of youth kind of distance themselves from their parents because they can't relate to them. The way they grew up here and the way that parents grew up, it's just there's not a lot of things for them to talk about except school, like how, what their grades are, what school they're gonna get into. Like, so I've noticed that youth say that it's hard for them to share their feelings with their parents because they have this notion that the parents won't understand, so they won't even try to talk to the parents about their feelings.
Irene, Johan, I'm not sure which of you want to weigh in on this, but do you think that some of those cultural conflicts between Asian American teens and their parents, especially their parents who maybe grew up in a different country or are first or even second generation immigrants, do you think that contributes to mental health stresses and problems?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like the miscommunication is definitely a big part about the struggle that comes with being an Asian American. It's really a conflict between the generations, like Monta said, like how different lives they've lived. Like, at least in my culture, I'm Filipino. My mom was raised in Gimbal. It's a southern province. And the main stress that they had to deal with was just surviving and just making sure that there's food on the table and that they are able to arrive at school on time. And so that was pretty much their entire lives. And so when they come over here, and that's pretty much what they're taught, and then they're relaying that information, then those kind of objects and ideas to take care of over here. And when it gets really overwhelming for the kid, they don't really know how to deal with that stress, because with the parents, they also had the way that they dealt with their stress was just focusing on surviving. That's all they had to care about, at least in my culture and like where I came from. So that's really what I've noticed in my experience. Irene, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, to add on to that, I would say a lot of Asian American parents that immigrated here, they really think that there's like a linear path to success. That's what defines like going to this world or this land of opportunity. So one thing that parents tend to do, especially I've seen this in my experience, my siblings' experiences and my friends' experiences, we get put into a lot of activities because there's just so many opportunities for the kids here. And obviously it's that the parents want the best for us. So they're expressing their love through pressure, through giving us these opportunities. But sometimes when the pressure just becomes too much, you know, it's hard to communicate that with your parents when their perspective is that they're giving the best for you. And the children can acknowledge that, but it's still difficult to voice any emotions of like distress to the parents.
Yeah. Mamta, do you think that sometimes parents of Asian American teens might miss warning signs for depression and anxiety because of all this? And I want to say that, you know, this can be an issue for parents from any racial or ethnic background. But do you think some of these cultural challenges contribute to that?
Definitely. And I just want to restate that it's not because they don't miss the sign because of lack of care. Like,
right. Like
all parents, they care about their parents, their kids. It's sometimes they might see like some symptoms of depression, such as like irritability or like anger, as like a sign of disrespect rather than a sign of depression. Because again, they don't know the concept of depression. So it definitely gets missed.
Yeah. Well, Mamta, what can parents do to improve the way they communicate with their teenage children and solve conflicts, understanding all these, you know, cultural challenges and identities that they bring into the situation?
I think the first thing parents can do is just listen to their child, listen to their needs and their wants without judgment, because a lot of growing up, I also experienced with the same thing. Like, we fear the judgment that might come with it, so we don't share things. So just starting with like asking open-ended questions, listening without judgment could be like the first step.
Yeah. Irene, Johan, you want to weigh in on that?
I will say my relationship with my mom changed a lot throughout high school. At the beginning, it was kind of my mom is a great person and she's an amazing
mom.
She
has a great son, so I would expect nothing less.
I remember freshman year, super stressful time because there's a lot of new opportunities, lots of difficult classes, and my mom was very supportive. But like Mamta said, we didn't really talk about anything else much other than like education. And also she had my older brother who was like getting ready to graduate college at that time. And so she was kind of more focused on that. And I, you know, freshman year was very stressful and, you know, there was a lot going on then. But once I started actually sharing, like, how my day was, how was track practice, how was a choir concert, what did you think about it, Mom? Once we started, like, actually talking to each other and getting to know each other, our relationship really thrived. And I also want to add, too, when I started driving, when I admittedly was going out everywhere, I was able, after some mistakes of not communicating properly to her, once we figured out that situation and started having some clear conversations about, like, what I'm doing and just really being comfortable with her, that really helped a lot in terms of forming a really healthy relationship with her. And that also improved my mental health in terms of having to deal with stress. I can just go talk to my mom, hang out with her. Sometimes we go to the park. Sometimes we have some picnics. So that communication aspect is really key. And I've seen how my relationship with my mom has really flourished.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say adding on to Johan's emphasis on communication, I think that the youth and the parent can both reframe any problems that the teenager might be having as a shared problem rather than like a child versus parent type issue. So whether that just is like talking it out, like Johan said, having these intimate conversations or seeking like professional help where the person that's helping can help both the parent and the child get on the same page. I think that's really important.
Yeah. Well, Irene, Asian Addy Youth has an event coming up in August that's all mm-hmm. about fostering these conversations and really talking all about all this. Can you tell us briefly about that event, when it's happening, where it's happening, and what the goal of it is?
Yeah, of course. So Asian Addy Youth is hosting an event called Building Resilience, Conversations Surrounding Youth Well-Being. And this event will take place on August 8th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Montgomery Community Church. And our purpose in hosting this event is really just cultivating that safe space for youth and their parents to explore mental health and explore well-being while bridging those intergenerational and cultural gaps that those two groups might have. So we really invite everyone to attend. It's open to teens and parents of all backgrounds. So we hope to see you there.
Yeah. Johan, you just graduated from high school. Again, you mentioned that. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What would you like to see happen to really reduce the stigma around these conversations and just talking about mental health, these problems generally?
That's a really good question. So like what I want to see happen with these conversations and reducing the stigma?
Right.
I think just starting off with some conversations. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything too deep or anything too vulnerable, but I think just a little bit of vulnerability helps. I know I went to St. X. I had my Kairos retreat this past year, and I was grouped with some Asian youth, and I was able to share, you know, kind of my story with them. And it, you know, those spaces that allow those vulnerable conversations are really beneficial. And it doesn't have to be like a religious retreat that like is already organized. You like everyone has the power to start that conversation yourself. So, it can always start with a how are you, but you can also start with like a more specific question, like, I don't know, where are you getting your clothes from? I just went to the Philippines. I got this Filipino brand Oxygen, something like that. Just to really get to know other people and really allow a vulnerable conversation to be held, because that way that stigma can be brought down. At least in my friend group, we are always checking up on each other, making sure that we're all good. And then 5 seconds later, we're playing basketball and shooting hoops. So just... it can be, talking about mental health doesn't always have to be a serious, scary thing. It can always be just a casual checkup.
Yeah, keeping those doors open. Well, I've been talking with Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation Project Coordinator, Mamta Buzge, Asian Addy Youth Co-Chair Irene Zhang, and Asian Youth Alliance Chairman Johan Trajano. Thank you all so much for your time
today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You can find more information about the AsianAtta Youth event, Building Resilience Conversations on Youth Wellbeing, on our website, wbxu.org. And if you're struggling with your mental health, call or text the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez-Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.